How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
Broadly, I've made the case that no society can truly succeed unless it guarantees the rights of all of its peoples, including religious minorities.
We've got a blind spot here with two sides. The two halves of the First Amendment don't get along very well. It's hurting our coverage. It's hurting how the church views the world. It's just hurting public life.
We don't sit through sermons where we feel like, oh man, pastor's been spying on me this week. He is keeping tabs on my sins because he is listing them all off in the sermon.
There's no place that Christ hasn't been. He goes even into the very depth of hell, Satan's headquarters, to say the victory has been won.
Lord of truck drivers, love issues, etc.
These can be some of the most puzzling, odd, sometimes even bizarre pieces of scripture. If you look in, say, the 19th chapter of the Old Testament book of Leviticus, there, very near the beginning of the Bible, when God is establishing a covenant with his people, and he's kind of showing them the shape of that covenant in their everyday life. Sometimes it takes an odd shape. Sometimes it's a very mundane shape. And sometimes you might be tempted to read these passages in the book of Leviticus 19 as merely advice on how to be a good citizen, a good person in the world. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to continue our series on Christ in the Old Testament on this Friday afternoon, talking about the holiness of God. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest, and we'll be in Leviticus chapter 19, finding Christ there. A little bit later, we're going to talk about the many that make the journey from American evangelicalism to confessional Lutheranism, with someone who's actually done the research on so many of those who have. Dr. Matthew Richard will join us. He's going to be speaking, by the way, at this weekend's Making Disciples Conference at Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. His presentation is going to be titled Making Disciples Among American Evangelicals. I'll tell you a little bit more about that a little bit later. Wesley Smith will be our guest. We're going to talk about environmentalism's war against human beings. And then we'll spend the last half hour of the program or so playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week with you. We play four soundbites. All you do is listen, and then you give us a call, you send us an email, you go to our Facebook fan page, or you send us a tweet, and you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll be giving away the LPR bundle package when we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. And I have Issues T-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad to the listener with the best vote when we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org. Or you can send us a tweet at IssuesETC, or you can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is with us every week as we continue a series with him on Christ in the Old Testament today in Leviticus 19. Pastor Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and he hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be here, Todd.
We're going to read a lot of kind of regulations that God is giving his people as part of the covenant. Why is it vital that we understand both God's own holiness and God's idea of holiness before we rightly understand these passages of Scripture?
Well, when you look at a passage like Leviticus 19, and you go through all these verses, it sounds like a list of principles for perfect living or just methods to maximize your potential of niceness towards other people. I mean, you look through these passages, and as you just go through it, it's, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge. You shall not strip your vineyard bare. You shall not steal. You shall not swear by my name falsely. You shall not oppress your neighbor. You shall not curse the deaf. You shall not be partial to the poor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge. And so you look through this, and it kind of sounds like a whole list of things that you can do. And that righteousness based on the law says, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. I can easily treat others just as I would want to be treated, especially if it works towards my own benefit. You know, I can love the one that loves me. If I scratch his back, then he'll scratch my back. So you go through this whole list, and without the holiness of God or the bestowed holiness by God, you don't really have any kind of a concept that Christ would be here or even be needed, because even sinners can love those who love them. And so as you go through this whole list, and in Leviticus chapter 19, it gets down to the bottom, and it's just, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, it's that golden rule, and people can just do that, and that's the way of thinking that you have this righteousness based on the law. Just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. But you have to take this passage in the context that God gives to his people. It's God who speaks to his people, and he's speaking to his people and telling them the way that they are to be. And so we look at this kind of this essence of who God's people are by starting at the beginning of chapter 19. And it's the Lord who speaks through the mouth of Moses saying that all the congregation, so God tells Moses, say this, speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And so that's how Leviticus 19 begins. It begins in the context of God's holiness and then the bestowed holiness that God has for his people. So this is not a list of principles that you can achieve your own holiness by your own efforts or your own personal righteousness, in which you would treat others nicely and that God would be happy with you because you did that. This won't make a person holy. You can't make yourself holy. Only God is holy. So when you look at chapter 19, one of the key things, besides noting that God is holy and his people are to be holy, is right in the very next verse, in verse 3 of chapter 19, the Lord indicates, once again to his people, you shall keep my Sabbaths, because I am the Lord your God. Now, when we understand the Sabbath correctly in the context of the Old Testament scriptures, we see the Sabbath as a gift that God gives to his people. I mean, you go back to Exodus chapter 31, and you say, why are the people of God to keep the Sabbath? Well, God makes it very clear. So in Exodus 31, verse 13, the Lord says this, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, make you holy. It is God who alone is holy, and he makes his people holy. He gives to them his holy word, and he bestows his holiness upon them. And so this is the key identity of who God is God is holy, and then who we are as God's people, we are holy because he is holy.
So the term you used before was, did you use the term bestowed holiness?
Yes, a bestowed holiness.
Take that apart for us.
Well, it's not a holiness that is part of who we are by nature. I mean, by nature, we are sinful and unclean. We are unholy by nature. We are conceived in sin. And so by nature, we are enemies of God. We don't want to hear God. We don't want to love God. We don't want to love our neighbor. We don't want to believe in God. And so we want to walk in the path of unholiness, anything that's the opposite of who God is or what God says. So it's not something that we have in our own nature, or it's something that we can achieve by a set pattern or behavioral changes in our lives. It's something that is bestowed. It is something that God himself gives to us, and God himself gives to us his holiness through the means that he chooses, through the means of his holy word, his holy promise of course, the Messiah who will shed his blood and atone for our sins, and from his death we all receive this holiness.
Explain that, what you were talking about just a second ago, and that is the connection that is, and it's a rather explicit connection, although not easily or readily understood, between God's commandment that he kind of raises to a different caliber than the others, the Sabbath. What is the connection there that God is making for his people between a day that they are to observe that is holy unto him and the holiness that he gives to them?
Well, again, so that the people of God in the days of Moses are very clear on this, that Moses is not teaching a righteousness that is based upon the law, just this idea that you can just do whatever God says and then you achieve your own holiness. Instead, it's this righteousness that's based upon the promise. It's the promise that's received in faith. And so it's God who brings his people together to speak upon them holiness. And so that this whole holiness of God becomes ours, and it throughout the whole Old Testament scriptures, it points to the one who will take upon our flesh and blood, be just like us, take upon humanity with the exception of no sin. And in the incarnation, this is where God, of course, makes us holy in humanity. Fallen creation is now restored with Creator. So you have, like in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul talks about how this holiness is bestowed upon us, and he says this in Ephesians chapter 5, where he says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might make her holy, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. So this is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, and this whole passage where Paul, in the letter to the baptized in Ephesus, is talking to those who are holy, the saints, those who have been made holy by God. And it's through the death of Christ that this holiness is achieved. And then you have Paul who is unpacking this and says, and therefore in the waters of baptism, we have been united as the people of God, brought into his presence in communion with him, and his holiness now cleanses us with this washing of the waters of baptism and the Word, and the Holy Spirit is given to us to make us holy. And so you cannot separate the holiness of God from the holiness of Christ.
We'll come back right there, pick it up where we're leaving off at this break, with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament. Today, we're talking about the holiness of God in Leviticus 19.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people, by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
To become famous in theology means to present something new and different. But if I present something new and different, this is bound to be heresy.
Are those homosexual activists bigots when they advocate that marriage not include groups, relatives, or other parties? I mean, I don't think so.
Here in this one event, you have disclosed in its most intense colors both the holiness and the love of God.
What we may be seeing with Stephen Furtick is not just the rise of a megachurch pastor, but we may actually be seeing the rise of somebody who might be a cult leader, more than just a megachurch pastor.
In the last half hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, February the 21st, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page. Listen to the soundbites at our website, issuesetc.org, and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. That's the last half hour of Issues Etc. Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. In the meantime, it's Christ in the Old Testament. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We're in Leviticus chapter 19. Picking up where we left off, you were making an explicit connection between the holiness of Christ in his incarnation and the love of Christ. Make the connection, therefore, the incarnation and this bestowal, as you've put it, this bestowal of holiness on us.
Well, you cannot separate the holiness of Christ from the love of Christ, and you cannot separate the love of Christ from the love of the Father. And so we have to understand that love itself is not an emotion, it's an action. And we are told exactly what love is. It is God who shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So this is love. And all of this is tied together when Jesus then teaches what the greatest commandments are. And the question, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says you can't separate the love of God from the love of neighbor. And this is all tied together in the incarnation when Jesus takes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your might, your strength, and yourself. And then he ties that together with this Leviticus 19 passage of love the neighbor as yourself. And when Jesus says this in Matthew 22, he says, and these two commandments, on these, hang all the law and the prophets. Now this word hang in the Greek, this krematai, is the same word that's used throughout the New Testament when you talk about Jesus hanging on the tree. It is in his crucifixion that you have both the love of God and the love of neighbor. So that in the incarnation, this is where you have God's love for us. You can see God's love for us. You can see God's love for others. So that in the incarnation, you have in the unity of the one Christ, uniting together divinity and humanity. You cannot separate the two. So therefore, to love Jesus is to love divinity and humanity. For Christ is this visible image of the invisible God. And now we cannot see God whom we are to love, but because of the incarnation, we can see Christ in our neighbor. And so God connects us together. To love neighbor is to love God. To love neighbor is to love Jesus.
So it's all got to go together in Christ himself, that suddenly it is in Christ, and his crucifixion, that the whole Christian life, love for God, love for neighbor, is comprehended.
Exactly. So it's in Christ that we are a new creation. It's in Christ that we have our sins taken away from us, and then the righteousness of Jesus is bestowed upon us, and the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to us, in which we begin to love the things that God does, and we are beginning to do the things that God loves. So that in Christ, we're this new creation, we have this new identity. And so in Christ, we are holy, and we are beginning to act just like God acts towards us. So that in Christ, when we see our neighbor, we see the one who is in need. And so we see the affliction and the suffering of our neighbor, we see the affliction of Christ for us. So Christ empties himself for us to take upon this form of a servant, so that then we who are in Christ, now we empty ourselves and we take upon the form of a servant to serve others. We don't do this to gain holiness. We're already holy in Christ. But then when we see the afflicted, we see Christ. When we see the one who is without food or drink, the one who is a stranger or in need of clothing, the one who is sick or the one who is imprisoned, he is the one who is in need of love. And this is the one who is afflicted and suffering. And so when we see this one, we see Christ. And as we do this to this one, we act in love, we do this to Christ. As Jesus says, as you've done this to the least of my brethren, you have done it to me. And so we become imitators of God. As God, he gives to us these wonderful gifts, and we begin to treat others just as God has treated us. so that we understand that the incarnate God empties himself to serve us, and we're beginning to be like him, children of our Father who empty ourselves to serve others. And we understand that we are all beggars and all in need before God, and he's the one that gives to us all that we need.
Now, you said to imitators, which is certainly the language that Scripture will employ from time to time, but you say it's not the imitation that's the way we think of imitation. It is more than imitation. It is identity. Explain that, Pastor Ketchelmeyer.
Yeah, it's our identity of who we are, just like when God reveals to us who he is. God is love, therefore God loves. God does what God is, and God is what God does. And out of love for his creation, he created us to be loved and to love one another. And so this is God's identity. He is one who is love, and therefore he loves us. And now in Christ, we have a new identity. So now we're walking in love. And as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, now we begin to act like Christ and imitate in that way, receiving the gifts from him, emptying ourselves, being filled by him, and emptying ourselves for the neighbor. And so it's all an issue of identity. And this is what was taking place in Leviticus 19. The people of Israel were going into the promised land. And so just in the previous chapter, in 18, again, it's an issue of identity. So chapter 18 begins by saying, "You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt." That was the identity before you were redeemed out of slavery in the house of Pharaoh. And likewise, in chapter 18, God says, "And when you go into the promised land, you will not do as they do in the land of Cana," because that's the people that are being pushed out of the land. And you're going to go into the land, and you're going to be as God is toward you, because you were the stranger, and you were the sojourner amongst the people of Egypt, and God came, and he loved you, and he took you, and he cared for you.
One other thing we need to deal with, and that is, Scripture will then speak in New Testament terms of the same kind of things that we find there in Leviticus, not the particular things, but the same kind of attitude toward neighbor. And we'll speak of them kind of by way of characteristics, or I think the Scripture's language is fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that makes us holy bears his fruit in us. Talk about those things with a few minutes.
Yes, so again, it's this idea that we are a new fruit tree, and as a new fruit tree, we produce fruit, because that's what a fruit tree does by nature. And of course, of the fruits of the Spirit, the first, of course, is love. And so what you see in Leviticus 19 is kind of a description of how this love will be manifest for your neighbor, that you will do these things for benefit of your neighbor. And so I like to see that image of that fruit tree. When you plant a fruit tree in your backyard, it produces fruit. But that fruit, it's not producing for itself. It's producing it for the benefit of someone else. And so that's what these good works are for. It's not to impress God or to make yourself holy. God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. And so in Leviticus 19, it's just giving to you a list of description of how this will all pan out. Because you are in Christ, therefore, you will leave the fallen grapes for the poor. You will deal truthfully with each other. You will give what is owed. You will stand up for the life of your neighbor, and you will love your neighbors yourself. And each time that the Lord says and describes to us who we are and what we are to do, he gives to us the reason. The reason is this: because I am Yahweh, your God, who took you out of Egypt, and this is how I treated you. I redeemed you. I give to you what you need, and therefore, as my people, that's what you do to those who are in need.
Has anything changed? We've got about a minute here before we need to wrap up. Has anything changed? The Old Testament people of God, made holy by God's holiness. The New Testament people of God. Is there a direct line to us, the church?
There's a direct line, and the only thing that has changed is in the Old Testament times, the rituals that they had were the shadows of the reality to come. They were just these types. And so, of course, now in the New Testament, we have the reality. We have the sacrifice that atones for sins and makes us holy. So we don't need those rituals anymore in the Levitical sacrifice around the altar. Instead, we have something far greater. We have the very body and blood of Christ given to us to eat and to partake in as we gather together as his people in community. And so this is what Moses is telling the whole congregation as a whole. You are a group of people brought together into fellowship, just as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in unity and community and love one another. We are to love one another also in community as we partake of this one bread.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He's host of a weekly radio show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You can find out more about Redeemer Theological Academy under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Next week, we'll talk with Brian about Christ in the covenant confirmed in Exodus chapter 24. Brian, thanks for your time.
It's great to be here, Todd. Thanks.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time on this Friday afternoon with Dr. Matthew Richard. He has actually done some real research into something that we hear about from our listeners here at Issues, Etc. all the time, that well-worn path from pop American evangelicalism to the Lutheran confession. We'll talk about that with him right after this.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano's Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
In a Midwestern town not far away, against the encroaching forces of darkness, theologians gather. Saunders, Kuhlman, Ziegler, Masaki, and more. At Christ for Us in the Office of the Holy Ministry, February 25th through 27th in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Register at acelc.net because...
You must unlearn what you have learned.
Join the cause at acelc.net.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Carpet, hardwood, tile, stone, laminate, you name it, they've got it at Vallo Floor Coverings in Edwardsville. Vallo's offers competitive pricing, a knowledgeable sales staff to help you with product selection, and name brands like Shaw, Congoleum, Mohawk, Florida Tile, and more. Vallo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville, 618-656-7788 or vallofloor.com.
Oh, morning star, oh, morning star, shine far and bright, a throne.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at lutheranpublicradio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.